All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Onsite Insight podcast. Today is episode 20. I'm your host, Corey, and today we have none other than the copy throwing, quad twerking, tattooed vanilla gorilla himself, Darcy from DRC Fit. All right, bro, I want to thank you for jumping on today. For you guys that are listening anyway, this one is a little bit out of pocket, but it's very, it's going to be very valuable for you guys that are listening. So, yeah, bro, thanks for coming on.
And, good, bro. It's been a pleasure.
If you can, before we dive into some of the questions that I've got for you today, do you want to just give our listeners, because you got a massive audience yourself, do you want to just give the boys that are listening on our podcast a bit of a recap of who you are, what you do,
so
that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so I'm Darcy, so I've created DRC Fit, which was obviously my online coaching business, but you know, I've come from a very troubled past of obviously crime, violence, and all stemming from obviously being bullied as a kid, being picked on, which led me down the track of wanting to be accepted, which at the end of the day, we all want to be accepted. You know what I mean? That's where everyone falls into things. You want to be accepted. You want to be a part of something. And that's where we fall into the habits we create. And then we think that's life and think that's happiness, which is where I obviously fell into all my trouble. As a kid, wanted to fit in after being bullied and alone my whole life, no friends, no community, no sleepovers, no going to discos, no being picked for sports and eating my lunch by myself in primary school, like no friends. So my whole, everything stemmed from me just wanting to be accepted, me wanting to be loved, to be a part of something. I come from a great family, I love my family, great, but at that point, I did not care about my family. You know, I cared about wanting to be a part of a community, wanting to be a part of a group of friends, having a laugh with a friend, like something so simple like having a chat with a mate is so good for your mental health. And I never really had that as a kid. So when I went into high school, obviously I went down a dark path because the kids I did fit in, like I wasn't going playing footy. I was on the footy teams. I was fat. I was bored in school. I was put down. I never thought I was enough. I never thought I was good enough. So my whole life, I was just, I hated school. I hated life. I hated everything. So when I did get a chance to be accepted in a group of friends, I jumped at it. You know what I mean? You could put a fucking shot of heroin in there and you fucking dick come. I would be like, yep, fucking sweet, sign me up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I sort of fell into the life of crime. And at a very young age, I started using drugs when I was 11 years old. And then obviously got expelled from three schools. I hated schools. I hated school. I hated teachers telling me what to do. Because in primary school, like teachers and stuff like that, I resented authority at a young age because teachers forced me to do sport carnivals. Teachers forced me to go to swimming carnivals where I had to take my shirt off. Teachers got me in trouble, and I got in trouble for doing these things because I didn't want to participate because I hated myself. And I didn't want to come last. I was constantly made to feel like a failure. So from a young age, I hated teachers. I hated authority. I hated getting told what to do. And then going into school, when I found in like groups of kids, like going down the back over for smokes and then getting stoned at school. And then after a time of rebelling in class and the kids laughing at me, I'm making friends in that situation. And I loved it. I thrived it. And this was what I thought happiness was. Because being involved in a community, having friends, being a part of something was more important than anything else. Anything in my future. I didn't worry about my future. I didn't worry about my family. I didn't worry about my mental health or anything like this. I worried about getting on the drugs, fighting, crime, violence. And that's where I sort of landed in, obviously being a little SA bar, fucking ice pipes and knife fights bar. Okay, I landed in painting trains and graffiting and fighting and stealing and, you know, I ran away from home when I was 15, living on the streets, so I didn't have a school. I was expelled from three schools starting at night. So I've never finished school, I've never read a book in my life. Still to this day, even when I was in jail, the best time to read a book, still haven't. It just doesn't, it's like PTSD from school, learning. So I'm pretty scarred from all that sort of stuff. So, and then I fell into, obviously, life, violence and crime, and then just took over my life, destroyed myself, destroyed my whole family, because this was my number one priority. Wasn't there for my family, like my whole life. I tried attempting to take my own life when I was 18. You know, after a breakup, after I was on the ice, I started using speed when I was 12 years old, 11, 12 years old, till I was about 18. So every day using, stealing, living on the streets, graffiti, painting trains, that was my whole life. You know, I ran away from home. I was a missing person list. So my photo was up in all shopping centres around Brisbane. Have you seen this kid? Because my parents put me in a missing person list. I ran away from home when I was 14, 15. And I was living on the streets, trap houses, just fucking, that was my whole life, stealing to get by. This is my whole life, stealing for more drugs, getting high every day, my constant cycle. But this is what I thought happiness was.
Yeah.
You know, when I was high, when I was with my friends, I was having laughs, this was my number one priority. I didn't care about having seen my family in years. I didn't care about missing birthdays. I didn't care about missing Christmases. I didn't care about going to my mum's birthday, my mum's Christmas, none of that. I worried about just getting high off my head. This is where I thrive.
Yeah.
I made friends. And seeing the whole lifestyle of being a lad and esche and fighting and all that sort of shit, I wasn't a victim anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? I was fighting other people. Because I was bullied. I was made to feel like it wasn't enough my whole life. So I was put down. I was made to feel weak. I was made to feel insecure and like it wasn't enough. So when I found that I could fight, when I found that people started to feed me, when I started just not giving a fuck. So you don't give a fuck. The person who doesn't give a fuck is the most dangerous person.
Right.
Someone who has nothing to lose who doesn't care. And that's why I didn't care. I wanted to make a name for myself. I was kind of hanging around way older boys. Like my mate's older brothers were jailbirds, junkies. These were my role models, bro.
Yeah.
You know, this is who I aspired to be. Was criminals, junkies, jailbirds. That's where I started using ice so young and speed so young because I wanted to be a part of them. And they gave it to me. I'm like, yep, sweet, sign me up. Like, as I said before, I'll do anything. And then, so yeah, whole life that and I'm trying. And then when it all fell apart after I got, obviously, one of my exes went and hooked up with a few of my so-called mates. And then I couldn't go home because I didn't see, haven't seen my mum and dad for years. Like, I was on the run from police, all this sort of shit constantly. And then when I did get to the point where everything fell apart after hearing that, everything just imploded on me. Because when you're living in it, you don't know. But when everything goes to shit, it just all implodes.
Yeah.
You know, and then at 18, I tried taking my life. I jumped up on a roof and tried jumping because I was like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All my mates that I die for, like my brotherhood, my loyalty was everything. So all my mates I'll die for, I'll do anything for, I'll fight for, I'll steal for, everything stabbed me in the back. So that was nothing. And I've given up that.
Yeah.
I've given up my family. You know, I haven't seen them in years. I didn't want to go face them. You know, I was very drunk at the time and off my head. And I was like, everything's better off without me. So I tried taking my life at 18. And then ended up getting sober for a bit, came back, and then I got involved in the cocaine scene, which is a scene that everyone's in now, which is so acceptable.
Yeah.
You know, cocaine, partying on the weekends. This is how it led to me going shit. Like when I came back from New Zealand, I started to get sober and happy and then started to train, exercise, and get my life back again.
So, sorry, you went to New Zealand?
Yeah, to get off because my dad was working over there.
Yeah.
My dad was working over there, and I was meltdown at home. He's like, come over here, work with me, get away from everything.
So you sort of sobered up to a degree over there.
I had to. I tried taking my life. I was sitting on a broken leg.
Yeah.
Well, I broke my foot, so I was sitting in bed. I couldn't move. I was like, I couldn't do anything. I was sitting at home. I'm like just crying, constantly coming down. And after like, this is like after 8 years of fucking ice and speed abuse. You know what I mean? Like using every day. And then I would just come in. I was crying every day. And then shit, like everything coming down. And then our plan was to go over there, get sober. Because I'm like, I'm done with this life. I knew I had to change.
Yeah.
I'm like, yep, I'm fucking done. Went over there, got sober, trained, got one of my dad's workmates out there was like a bodybuilder, so he showed me how to do a few workouts and what to eat. I was at 121 kilos. That fat photo was when I went over to New Zealand. So I was fat as fuck, 121 kilos, hated myself. And then went over to New Zealand, dropped about 40-something kilos, came back 79, had abs, and then came back into it, but then you see, I got involved in going out on weekends with mates and drinking. And like,
do you think that it was because you built like confidence up then?
Because it wasn't meth and it wasn't speed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't me living in a trap house. It wasn't me living on the streets. It wasn't me. It wasn't the past life that got me to that point. I assumed if it wasn't speed, if it wasn't meth, if it wasn't anything to do with my old esh life, it's okay.
It's all right.
Yeah. Alcohol's okay. Yeah. Everyone thinks alcohol is okay. Alcohol kills life. Alcohol is the worst drug of them all. You have one red, it's fucking alcohol due to violence, DVOs, all this sort of shit stems from alcohol. Alcohol is the worst drug.
Yeah.
And you have one or two drinks, you can get on whatever the fuck you want. Mm. It weakens your mindset.
Mm.
That's why. So then I came back and I started allowing alcohol because alcohol was okay. And the people that I started to go out drinking with, they had jobs, they had sweet, you know, it was all sweet, it was okay. And see, I was in construction, I was a renderer. I just went, came back, started like rendering as a labourer, fucking shittest job in the fucking world. Carrying buckets of render up. I work my ass off week in, week out, and then the weekends I'll just start partying.
Yeah.
You know, this will be okay because going out, I'm still working.
Yeah. But it's so a social norm as well.
It is, and everyone's doing it. So at the start, it's okay. Everyone, when they start going out on the weekends, it's heaps of fun. You go out, you chat the chicks, you fucking have your mates, you fuck yeah, it's a mad night. Go on a bit of bender, go to kick-ons, you know. I thrive the kick-ons, bro. You know, that was my element. But then, obviously, going out nightclub and meeting people like that, I started selling pills because I was seeing my mates were selling it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can make a bit of money here. You know, what is that? So I started flinging pills. And then, obviously, when you're out drinking, I started using pills, snorting cocaine, because this is what everyone was doing. These people are like people with Louis V shit. Like, they're like, oh, they've made it. They've got the boost. They've got that. They've got respectable jobs. This is okay. And that's how I justified the life I was living because I'm not a crackhead anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. This is all this whole life. Everyone does this.
It's more expensive. If I can afford this, better than the other guy.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's more respectable community instead of sitting around and smoking pipes in the fucking room with each other, looking the fuck out. That was my whole life. So I assumed if it wasn't a part of my past life that got me to the point where I wanted to kill myself, it was okay.
Yeah.
Alcohol's okay. Cocaine.
But little did you know that it was just going to fucking send you.
It's the exact same shit. Yeah. That's why I say in my videos, I've done videos on it, there's no difference between meth and cocaine.
Yeah.
Tell me the difference. They still destroy lives. You still wig the fuck out. You don't still fuck. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's the exact same. But it's worse because it's so normalized.
Yeah.
And everyone's...
Like media, movies, you know what I mean?
Everything. Fucking, yeah, football stars, everything. Like, everyone does it. But they don't see behind the scenes. So I got involved in selling drugs in nightclubs and... pushed, you know, I've sold more and more than obviously I live in the cocaine world, started selling a heap of cocaine. Then by this time, I'm making a couple of grand every weekend, like just by going out. I'm like, I don't need to work. You know, I wake up on Monday every time, like, can't be fucking on work. And then by the end of it, I'm like, fuck work, I don't need to work.
Yeah.
I'm like, making 5-6 grand every weekend. Plus, you know, when I get go out and have fun a weekend, I get better a weekend, I can just sleep during the week, I've got money.
Yeah.
And I justify that, then I gave up my roots, my day-to-day job. And then I started going out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because I could go to Sunday sessions now because it's not the weekend, blah, blah, blah. And then it just got worse and worse. Started going out Thursday night. Then next minute, over time, I stopped going out because I started using a lot of cocaine and I got more anxious. You know, when you get anxious. And then obviously I started snorting cocaine, having Valium to let myself out. And I was just snorting rack at home by myself because I had fucking ounces of shit. You know what? I'm like, oh, this is my ounce of perso. You know, I sell this, I make that. I never started selling drugs for money.
Yeah.
Money was never my priority. Selling drugs was to do the exact same thing as I did when I went into being a lad, being a young criminal.
Yeah.
I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to have friends.
Well, yeah, you would have been the go-to guy.
I was.
You know what I mean? You were the guy.
I was the guy.
Paul Darcy.
Everyone knew I had the best gear. Everyone knew I was always on. Everyone knew I was be there in 2 minutes. Everyone knew I'm always good to go.
You rock up. Everyone sees you. They fucking... They
and go, I'm the one that kick-ons. I'll dump out an ounce for everyone to snort. Everyone wants to be a part of it because I've got the gear, you know. But I felt like I had heaps of friends. I made friends do this. Don't get me wrong, but there was a once, like, I needed people to be around me. So I'll fucking be like, hey, you want to come in with me? I'll shout everything, you know what I mean? And then I was constantly just wanting to be accepted again. So I started selling drugs, be the guy with the drugs, be the guy that got invited to kick-ons. I got invited to places, you know, special events and shit. That's because I'm going to sell bags to everyone that's there, you know? And then, so that's where I sort of fell into the trap of the cocaine world. And then I started using it every day. And then over time, obviously, my mum's sick. So my mum told us, me and my little brother, that she had terminal cancer. And this was when I started using real bad because I didn't know how to cope with that and how I've always coped with everything. How most people cope with all their issues is to numb their issues, not deal with them, not do it right.
And everyone's got their own way of doing it.
They've got their own way, but most 99% of people go to the toxic way. It's to numb it. You know, whether it's alcohol, drugs, food, anything like that to numb yourself, to take your mind off it, they'll use that rather than working on yourself, rather than facing it and working through it, which I didn't know how to do. I never processed anything in my life. So I started just, as soon as mum sat down and told us, I didn't cry, didn't anything. We just sat down at the table as a family. She told us she got cancer. And I was like, all I was thinking about was, I need to go down and have a line. I need to go. And I had fucking ants in my room. So I went downstairs, smacked the line and just forgot about it. And then I started using it. I started using beer like every day. That was like every day.
You mentioned you had a little brother. How did him seeing you go through all that?
He's not scarred from it, but he's not gone down the same path. If anything, the one thing that me getting up to all my shit did was kept him on track.
Yeah.
Because he's seen me spiral. He's seen me just flip out at home. Like, man, I was a bad, like, I've stolen off my family for drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I've stolen? When my mum would be up in a room, like when she'd go downstairs, I'd quickly run up, grab 50, 100 bucks out of wallet to go get on, that sort of shit. Mm. When my little grandma would come over, I'm not proud of this, but when my little grandma would come over, she'd leave her bag downstairs and she always had cash. Old bitches always have cash, you know? And then I'm like, yep, sweet. And I'll give me 400 or 500 bucks in cash. I'll take 200, leave 3 in there, and it's sweet. But I didn't even care. There was no, is this wrong? There was no, do I get it? Was, I need more drugs.
Yeah.
So I've started, this is the whole life that it's just putrid, but I'm not proud of that, but that's where you get to. It becomes your number one priority.
Yeah. You know, and that obviously led you to fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then obviously I was pretty violent as well. Like when I was going out, I've got a fair few assault charges and shit like that, so I got in a lot of trouble because the same thing when I was a lad, when I was younger, I never took any shit. I promised myself I'll never be a victim. You know, so if someone can't have big yell, whatever, I'll punch in the mouth. That was my motto. Like, I'll never stand down. I'll always, even if I got bashed, I don't give a fuck. I'll go down swinging. And that was my whole mentality, because I got bullied and I said to myself, once I got into the lifestyle of knowing that I used to flog people, I used to, I could fight.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I got, realized I could fight, I knew I can win. You know, I don't have to be a victim. And that mentality sort of kept with me when I was going out on weekends selling drugs. If anyone tries to rip me off, or if someone doesn't want to pay, or they're rude to me, or they spill a drink on me, or someone's just disrespectful when they're drunk, I wouldn't think I'll just hit.
Yeah.
You know, it got me in a lot of trouble. I've got in a fair bit of trouble from fighting when I was out.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, got in that whole life. And then over time, I just started using, selling heaps of drugs, and moved out and got a penthouse and kept using, and ended up in fucking jail, bro.
Yeah.
You know, so the waters come crashing out. I ended up sitting in my room, and by the end of it, I was sitting there by myself, just using in my room alone, because I didn't want to be around anyone.
Yeah.
I pushed away my mates. I didn't want people to come on benders with me, because I'd get too anxious and wig out on people that are with me.
Yeah.
Over time, your paranoia gets worse. Yeah, everything gets worse, your anxiety. And I was more comfortable in a room by myself, snorting, smoking drugs. Okay. And by the end of it, after using cocaine for so long, I ended up back on the ice pipe. Because my septum was fucked. I couldn't snore down my nose anymore. I've got no septum. My nose is fucked. I've got a constant drip. To this day, my nose drips. 6 years sober, still drips.
Yeah.
But I couldn't snort anymore. So I've got, I couldn't snort cocaine anymore. So then I had a mate of mine that came around and used to smoke pipes. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it, chuck us one. Because I just wanted to get high. And then I completely forgot that ice and speed and everything was what fucked my life. But I let it back in a second as soon as I wanted to get high. And I couldn't get high anymore. I found another way. And that's when I got back on the pipe and things started to spiral heaps in. But I got just as paranoid and just as fucked up on cocaine than I did on fucking that.
Yeah.
All day.
It's fucking, yeah. Whereas you guys in here, like, fucking, you got like a hectic story, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I feel like the thing for a lot of guys that listen to us anyway, it's like, as you sort of just said before, like, not everyone touches ice and coke and all that sort of stuff, right? But alcohol, I feel like it's the leading cause down that rabbit hole. And like, that's, you start drinking, you start fucking, and then,
weak and you once off. You have one drink, you're weak.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But so you touched on that you were in construction.
Yeah.
Did you just like start labouring in construction?
I just started labouring. I worked for some fucking Italian bloke, fucking $20 an hour, carrying mud, mixing mud, rendering mud, just working like a fucking dog.
Yeah.
For like $800 a week.
What were you doing before that? Just fucking in and out?
That was my first job, really, because when I was young, I just stole and lived on the streets and stole for a living and sold drugs.
Yeah.
I never had a real job before that.
Yeah.
Never finished school, never had a job.
All right. So I've got some questions to ask you. Right. So as you sort of mentioned, like, you've just basically outplayed, like, obviously there's heaps more
to I try to, like, try to put it all in one.
For you guys that are listening, jump on his Instagram and have a look. Like, this kind of preaches it every single day. Like, he'll just fucking say, he's got nothing on my mind. But basically your journey to get you to where you are now. There's a lot of guys that are listening, or people that would have seen, DRC Fit, what you are now, fucking Gold Coast influencer. but like, you've built what you've got now, you know what I mean? And you're fucking, you help thousands of people, you know, it's mad what you're doing now. And basically, I feel like, talk to us about the journey to DRC Fit. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't just happen over fucking on. You know what I mean? You were a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck did you even, what was that path? Because as you said, you were 120 kilos.
Yeah.
You didn't know nothing about fucking fitness or anything like that. Was this all when you were incarcerated? Like, was this all something you thought about when you were in jail? How did you get to going down the path of doing what you're doing now, basically?
Yeah. Well, when I first went to jail, when I first went to jail, it was the same thing. I was chucked in the jungle. I don't care how big and bad you are. When you get chucked in jail with a bunch of real criminals, you're nothing. Yeah. It doesn't matter. So I just went in there, did my jail, but I was scared.
Were you going in there for the same mentality that I'm just going to smack wherever I see?
I was going to hold my own,
yeah,
but I was never going to go out looking for fights. Yeah. So I wasn't going to be a cocky cunt, but if someone came at me, I was going to stand on the ground,
yeah,
throw hands, whatever. You got to do what you do. But I did go in there being like, I'm going to bash some cunt. Like, I was going to go in. I was scared. I was coming down. I was fucking, didn't know what to expect. In jail, like, I'd never been in jail. I was like, I'm going to get fucked in the ass. I'm going to get someone's bitch. And then like this, I'm like, I'm going to be a bitch. Yeah, look. But, like, that's what you assume. Yeah. I went in there.
Put your pocket out.
Yeah. But I was like, I'll just stand my ground. Never went in there cocky. Never went in there. Just put my head down, went in there and trained. But exercise I found in jail, okay? What I did when I first went in there is I went outside and I started doing chin-ups, pull-ups. So I didn't want to really make conversation with people. I didn't know.
So you weren't hanging out with guys in there? They didn't know what to like.
I eventually did, but how I found mates in there was through exercise.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, found drugs, found mates, found more drugs, found mates. That's how I found that.
Yeah.
When I went to jail, I started getting accepted by training. There's heaps of drugs.
Yeah.
Jail's got drugs.
Yeah.
There's junkies everywhere. There's heaps of drugs in jail.
But how did, what I'm saying is, why, what stopped you from just fucking?
Well, when I was landing in jail, everything hit me. Like, you've got to realize I was high my whole life.
Yeah.
I didn't face any of my realities. When I was sitting there, my mum was meant to die while I was in jail.
Yeah.
So her cancer treatment was coming up and she wasn't looking good. And I was sitting in jail and I was like, I'm going to miss my mum's funeral. You know, it all hit me. I cried myself multiple times this night, thinking of my mum and thinking I've never made my family proud. Like, I didn't finish school. I didn't get first in football, sports carnivals. I didn't do anything to be proud of. I didn't get any grades. I hurt them my whole life. You know, from 11 years old, I had my first criminal charge when I was 11. You know, and I was this, but I hate, I, and I sat in there and I realised how much pain I caused the ones I love. And I've never made them proud. Like, they love me. They stood by me. And she's still talking to me on the phone. And I'm like, what the fuck have I done? Like, these are the people that stood by me. Yeah. No one else came to visit me in my jail. My best mate, Mario, came to visit me in jail. And his missus, they're the only people that knew I was even in jail. No one even knew I was gone, bro.
Yeah. All those people that you were selling around to.
Yeah. No one even knew I was gone.
Yeah.
So, but the boot did come visit me with my best mate. But then my mum, dying from fucking cancer, would drive 3 hours to come up and sit with me for an hour to have a chat with me and make sure I'm okay. And it ate me up. And I tell her every time, like, no matter what, I'll make you proud. And that's where I started to just being like, if anything in my past life was there, I'm not going to do it. As I say, you're white.
Yeah.
My why was to make my mum proud. Even if she goes, I'll make her proud long after she goes. And then I started journaling that shit when I was in there.
Yeah. Did anyone introduce you to that?
No, I started adopting. I started adopting myself.
Yeah.
I wasn't taught anything. Even when I started doing little meditations, I didn't have a fucking Spotify in jail. You know, I would have sat there, closed my eyes, but I used to just reflect on my past, reflect on the pains I've caused, reflect on the times I seen my mum crying in front of me and I didn't really care. Like, I was like, mum, I'm going to get high. Like, the pain I caused everyone, the arguments, and that, I was reflected on that. I'm like, what a fucking piece of shit. You know, and it beat me up. But that's when I sort of promised myself that this is where I'm going to make changes. So in jail, I found exercise and that got me through, because when I had those thoughts of my mum dying and that, like, the only way I could get through my day and get to bed was when I would train myself into the ground. I'll do 1,000 burpees every morning.
Yeah.
In a routine, hours every morning. Then I'll do my weights around lunch. Okay, which weights is like chin up bars and dips. I'll do back day or chest day, and then legs just lunges. Okay, so I'll do back. I'll rotate that, and then I'll just do chin ups and I'll walk, and then I'll do my pace in the afternoon. Cut laps in the yard, which is a big thing. Everyone knows, you know, jail cutting laps. Okay, it's pretty common. So you cut laps in jail, and I'll just sit down in the afternoon. Then I'll train again and do more burpees in the afternoon. I'll just, by the time I've got my cell, boom, I'll pass the fuck out because I'm that exhausted. So
true.
Exercise got me through jail. Exercise helped with my mental health. Exercise got me to sleep. Then exercise introduced me to people. People would see me train, like, fucking hard, eh?
Yeah.
Can we jump in? They wanted to jump in with me.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sweet, jump in. And then by the end of it, I had a crew of boys and we're all puffing burpees. I'll set the workouts. I'll create the workouts in my room the night before.
Yeah.
Come out, this is a workout, we're on burpees, star jump, push up. So I'll create little workouts. And then I started the sort of program.
Yeah.
Just like creating workouts. People would follow me. Then I had a group of 5 boys who would jump in and do chin-ups. I would create workouts. So I started creating workouts in there. I didn't know much about food. I was just trying to just... I haven't eaten no carbs in jail, which is dumb. If I knew what I knew, I'd eat my carbs, but I'd just have meat and just veggies. I wouldn't have any carbs because I thought carbs were the devil. Until I knew about food now, obviously, I just thought if it's carbs, I'm not eating it, it's bad for you.
Yeah.
Which most people think. If you're going to lose weight, people are like, oh, just cut carbs out.
Yeah,
which is so stupid. Yeah. Anyway, so I started doing that jail and just got me through everything. And then I'll call mum every day and I'll journal every day. And then I'll just get through every day. And then I'll just say, mum, I'm going to fucking change. I promise you. I'm like, and that's my why got me through that.
Yeah.
My why. That's why I had offered drugs. The people I was training in there, well, my brothers in there, were selling drugs.
Yeah.
I could have got it like this, easy as. Yeah. They used to get on a Friday and chip.
Yeah.
Like, everyone used to get on the weekend there. Like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go Friday, but I'll get some Friday or Saturday, whatever. But I'll be like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because I said, I promised my mum, I made a promise because I've lied and betrayed my family my whole life.
Yeah.
I never kept promises. I broke word, constantly lied to them. And me, I'm big, I'm loyal, you know, to my brothers, to everything, like, no comment, fucking, there's my whole life. My loyalty, half my drug charges aren't mine.
Yeah.
I took the rap for a fucking couple of rockers of gear that's not even mine. I put my hand up because I'm like, oh, was all the boys assaulted.
Yeah.
Because I was in the apartment. The apartment got raided for me because of the assault, blah, 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 that I was in, but they did an emergency raid when they come in, they seen all the gear out, and then I took the rap for everything. I could, I didn't have to do that, but I was loyal. But see, to my family, I lied through my fucking teeth, and I promised myself, and I promised my mum, the only promise I made to mum, I said, mum, I promise you, I'll never drink again, I'll never do drugs again, and I'll never fight again.
Yeah.
Three things that destroyed my life, three things that I live by, I'll never do again.
Yeah.
And I still haven't broken that promise. I'm 6 years sober to that day, but I made that promise.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing. And every day I was reminding myself, I'll never break the promise to my mum. And it stacked days, got out of jail. When I first got out of jail, I did construction. Like before I did PT and created going to PT, everyone goes on about how I don't have time and shit like this. I was working as a labourer during the day.
You put up a fucking thing ages ago. I remember messaging you about I think I spoke to you about it last time I seen you. What
I was labouring during the day, Monday to Friday labouring, 5 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon labouring, doing overtime when I can. Then I'd wash dishes Thursday, Friday, Saturday night and Sundays at this burger shop here in the coast. So I'd be working flat out, saved that money, got my PT course.
No car.
No car, no license. Okay, walk there, walk the job sites, everything like this. Okay, people say they don't invite me, they can't do it, they can.
Yeah.
And then got my certs, everything like that, got all that, and then I started doing PT. And then when I went into PT, I'm like, it's make or break. You be a PT, like if you're a coach, PTs know it's commission.
Mm.
Like you've got to get the sessions. If not, you've got to pay the gym a certain rate, whatever. And I'm like, in my back of my mind, like, I've got to make something myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll outwork anyone. And I did. I used to wake up at 1 in the morning every day when I was PT and I didn't have a license. I used to walk the Good Life Chermside, side, be in there from 2:30 in the morning till 6 at night, every day, meeting people. I didn't get any leads or anything. I got to, as you've seen, people don't probably know how many sessions PTs do, but I was doing 104 sessions a week after 4 weeks of Good Life, and I did that for over 2 years.
Yeah, a lot of people that listen to me like that.
No PTs do that. I've got the fucking calendar to prove it.
Yeah,
I know what I was doing. Okay, you showed me, I'll show you my calendar. I'll let him talk to all my clients. Go see him.
Yeah.
I did it. And then those numbers, but you show me one PT in the world doing those numbers.
Yeah.
I became the most, I believe, the most successful face-to-face PT with the amount of sessions I was doing
in
the
world. This is
well before DRC.
Well before DRC. Yeah. You're just fucking in the
gym. I was just in there making, I wasn't even big on social media.
Yeah.
I wasn't even worried about social media. I was in the gym, just creating
business. So where are you getting clients? Are you just fucking going up
walking to people? Not being like, what, do you want a session? I just became their friend. Yeah. Like, I introduced myself.
Yeah.
I never went up and tried to sell myself. I'm like, hey, buy my packages. I be a salesman. I went up and just be the nice guy. I set a goal every day that I'm going to introduce myself to 10 new people every day.
Yeah.
I'm going to get one phone number a day. Yeah. Those are all like KPIs that I set for myself every day. And I didn't leave the gym until I got that done.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I had fucking 104 sessions in 4 weeks. I knew everyone in that gym after fucking 4 weeks. Everyone knew my name. A big smile on my face. Like, friendly PT. If someone needed help, I'd go up, give them a spot. Yeah. Free. Like, I wouldn't worry. I'd just be there helping people.
Yeah.
You know, and then this all landed in my lap. And then I was pumping that. And then over time, I sat down and I'm just with my missus and I'm like, fucking, I need to get I'm going to post this story about like my old photos when I was a fucking junkie. I'm like, I'm going to put my transformation out there to show people. And I've never posted anything before this.
Mm.
This was like a year and a half after PTM, successful as fuck,
killing
it. I'm making $6,000 a week, PTM. Like just killing it, but not worrying about social media, just waking up early in robot, go to bed, get my prep done Sunday, sleep on the weekends, wake up early. Like I was just in robot mode
because
I wanted to make something, so I wanted to make my family proud.
Yeah.
Now, and it's the first time in my life that my mum and dad said they were proud of me. Mum said it when I got out of jail and she seen I was making changes, but my dad, like, you know, my dad's an old Aussie bloke, you know what I mean? He's just like, oh, but when my dad sat down, he's like, by the fire, with everything, mum's going through cancer and that.
Yeah.
And he's like, no matter what, son, you've got to know your mother and I are very proud of you. And I just started crying.
Yeah.
I've never said that in life. And that just ticked me up another notch, bro. I'm like, I'll get up at fucking midnight, come. You know what I mean? And that's why I was like, it just drove me. Drove me.
Yeah.
You know, and I never let my wife slip my mind. I never broke my routine. The routine I adopted that everyone sees me doing, throwing the coffee in my face, everything. I have not broken my routine for 6 years. I started doing cold showers in jail. So the reason why the coffee, cold shower shit, I used to in my cell, because obviously you don't have the kettle, you don't have, you just got your bushels, tea in your cup, like you just have coffee,
yeah.
And then there'll be the shower and it goes cold and then it warms up. You press the button, you've got 2 minutes, whatever. And I'll just wake up every morning, I'll make my coffee, I'll press the button and I'll have a quick cold shower in there, and then I'll quickly fill up my cup with coffee when it went warm. And that's what I did every morning. I have a cold shower first, and then I quickly, just when it went warm, I fill my coffee up and then I'll drink my coffee in the shower while I have a morning shower.
Yeah.
That's what I did every morning. It was a little thing I did. You know, and then I sat down, did my journal before the doors get unlocked. I did my journal and I sat there and just focused and meditated. And it's like, not meditate, but just think about my family, think about my loved ones. Like, just like, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make them proud. Just reflect.
Yeah.
That's what I started doing. And then obviously then doors unlocked, did what I did. And then I got out and then I'm like, fuck, put my story up there. And then it just was my before and after just got traction. It just went off. Like, I had heaps of messages being like, fuck, man, what you've done is amazing. How'd you
do it? So you were still no DRC fit?
No.
Still just a PT.
Still just a PT.
Still just fucking slinging hours everywhere. Every day, just fucking going hard.
Yeah.
And then misses, just, and then you just thought, fuck it.
Yeah, I'm just going to put something out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I put my before and afters out there first.
Yeah.
And then people reach out to me, like, how do you do this? And I have people reach out, man, I'm struggling. Like, how do I make this change? And by, at the start of it, I was sending out people just morning routines for free just to help people.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just be like, oh, start doing this. I'll tell them to have a cold shower every morning. No social media. I'll say, write down these little things that are going to get in your head. Like, write down.
Were you ever just like, what? Like,
all right, guys, congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode.
When you started doing that, what was the clicking moment where you were like, this is something? Because this is before DRC Fitness, before you fucking went hard, like doing what you're doing now, right?
Yeah.
What was the point where you were like, oh, I need to like go this route now? Because obviously you don't do PT sessions anymore.
No, I'm not. Like,
so it's all online. Right?
Yeah.
At what point were you like, oh, fuck, I need it?
Well, I did that for a couple of months, but the amount of people that would reach out to me, and then I'd set them little routines, and then I'd set them their morning routines, and I'll check in on them. Like, these people, well, this is before I started coaching, they would message me and like, hey, man, I'm fucking feeling amazing. I'm like, right, well, tomorrow do the same thing, but send me a photo of it. And I just started holding people account for free.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even think about it as a business because I was making heaps of money PT. Yeah. And then I started doing this. And the amount of people, I was helping 30, 40 people. Like, just to help, because I genuinely want to get people happy. I know what it's like to struggle. And someone reaches out to me struggling, I can relate, bro.
Yeah.
And if I can give them a little bit of advice that can help them, I'm like, fuck yeah, that's mad. Because I know how it feels. And when you get to that point where you think everything's so fucked, you feel lost.
Yeah, I get it. Bro, I've spoken to you about this like a handful of times. Like, even you guys that are listening, whether you guys are in your car, whatever the fuck you're doing, but I don't really need to blow smoke because you know what you do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know what you've done for me, and like I've been a client of yours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's I feel like people always preach they do it for, you know, not for money and blah, 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 blah. Like, I do it to help people. But, like, I feel like you genuinely actually do. You know, obviously, you still got to do what you got to do. But I feel like deep down, I feel like the genuineness of what you do is there first. That's what was there first. I think that's really why.
Yeah.
If, like, it has,
you know. Yeah, well, I do care. I've got 20, 30 clients of mine that can't afford me, and I check in on them still.
You know what I mean? Like, everyone said, like, for the people that aren't in the online space, as we're sort of looking in from the outside, like, you're in the space.
Yeah.
People that are looking in from the outside, everyone says that. Oh, you know, I care about my clients. I want to do this. I want to do that. Blah, 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 blah. I've tried heaps of cunts.
Yeah.
And this, that, and the other. And,
it's different, but
but you know what I mean, like, I could sit here and blow smoke up your ass fucking all for the next half
but that's hour. What I love, knowing that I'm not normal.
Yeah,
I hate being normal. I don't want to be a normal coach. I'll never sell it. I was selling it before.
Yeah.
I've had brands reach out and say $10,000, and I said no.
Yeah,
then I want to sell it. I want to be me, and I'm going to help people. I run everything myself. I could hire people and turn this into a scale business.
I've said this to Darcy before. Like, I remember sitting down here, like, first time I was here, I said to you, I was like,
I'll do anything myself. I love the personal touch. I've voice note everyone. If you fucking know, you know, okay? But I voice note everyone. I make it personal, okay? Because some of the people I coach, some of the people that help, they don't have family. They don't have friends. They don't have a missus. They don't have beautiful kids. They don't have a connection. They're just lost with nothing. You know, and a simple message from me will save their life. But I've got messages from people saying, literally, before I started with you, I was trying to take my life. I've been to rehab, I've been to counsellors, I've been to psychologists, I've been on medication, I've tried everything and I always go back and I can never change. And since that person's been with me, they're a year sober. They're happy as fuck. They found a girlfriend, they found love, they found all that sort of shit. Nothing made them change like I did. And knowing that, it's just gets me fucking dick up.
Oh, dude.
Okay? But I love being the guy that can actually change lives. And I know I can.
I think the biggest thing for me as well that I've noticed from jumping off, right, is obviously, as we were talking off camera before, is like the accountability side of it. Yeah. But a little thing that I didn't mention before was the journaling, right, the gratitude stuff.
Yeah.
And this is something that I sat down with Tamara and we were talking about it, and she was like, what's some of the things that you've noticed the biggest change? And I feel like everyone, you hear it on social media, you hear about people fucking e-books, fucking this, that, and the other, right? They all talk about, oh, gratitude, do this in the morning, gratitude, do this in the morning. It's become very fucking in your face.
Yeah, for people,
right? Yeah. But for me, I always used to think it was airy-fairy shit, right? Yeah. Oh, you just fucking do it. So anyway, I do it every day. Do it. And then I sat back the other day and I thought, what is, like, the biggest thing is that the clicking moment wasn't the fact of sitting down and writing and taking a photo of it. That wasn't it. The biggest thing is like the day to day. So during the day, I would find things to be grateful for.
Yeah.
And I would remind myself, like we'd be walking through the shop and I'd be like, how grateful is it? We don't need to worry about how much our groceries are.
Yeah.
Now, like, but before, I wouldn't think about that.
Yeah. Right? You'd dwell on negatives.
I'm thinking, fuck. Right. Yeah. I wouldn't think about that. Or I wouldn't think about all these small things throughout the day. Like, be grateful for just being able to, like, walk get breakfast and not have to worry about the bill.
Yeah.
Like, these are all the things that when it would happen now, I would subconsciously just click in my head and be like, grateful for
that. Yeah.
Where before, I would never think about it.
Yeah.
Now it was a penny drop moment for me. Yeah. That's when I realized that it's not just airy fairy.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's repetition. I had to.
But it's creating a positive mindset.
Exactly.
It's not just the gratitude like I do the why and the goal for that, little things like that as well. So with gratitude, you're creating positive thinking.
Yeah.
I didn't realize everything I had until I was sitting in jail and all got taken away.
Yeah.
I didn't care about, I had a penthouse, I had my car, I had heaps of money, I had fucking everything, bro. But fucking ounces and ounces of cocaine, pure cocaine, wow. Okay, you know what I mean? But when all that got taken away, I missed out on birthdays. Missed out on my mum's cancer treatments. I had the fear of missing out on my mum's funeral.
Yeah.
I had funerals that I did miss out on from mates of mine that OD'd and died and couldn't go to. Okay, there's things I missed out on there. And these little things, I was like, fuck, I wish I could be there. And then, like, sleeping on a paper and mattress on a metal bench in jail every night. Like, not being able to open your own door. Jail, I think everyone needs to go do 3 months.
Yeah.
I think everyone
needs to go. I asked you this before, ages ago, I was like, do you think jail is the best thing ever?
Yeah, because it opened my eyes.
Yeah.
It did force me to get sober, but it opened my eyes. It taught me structure and routine. That's why I throw a copy on my face every morning. That's why I stay doing my journaling. I post every day on first class flights to Dubai. Still stayed on track. When I was on my holidays, still stayed on track. And I put that on my social media. It's not just me to be a fuck with to throw a coffee in my face. It's to show everyone that this is never getting broken. And this is why I'm 6 years sober. This is why I'm 6 years happy. This is why I'm 6 years proud. This is why I have so many moments and memories with the ones I love that I can cherish forever. This is why I think the universe has given me more time with my mum to make memories with her before she goes. This is because I've stuck to my routine. I don't let my mindset slip. I don't give it the chance. Look at your track record. Okay, look at my track record. As soon as I go, oh, yep, sweet, you're good for a day. Everyone on day one goes amazing. Good job. We finished day one. Great work. Everyone does because they're focused.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, day one. Okay, sweet. I'm going to done this. I'm done on Monday. I'm fucking never doing it again. But then over time, their mindset slips. They get comfortable. They get lazy. They forget their why. They break routine. They allow that thing back in and destroy them because they let it slip. As soon as you let it slip, you slip.
Yeah.
And you allow back in, you justify it.
That's what we were talking about before. It's like, you know, for me, jumping off was the biggest test.
Yeah.
Right? Because no one's going to hold me accountable.
Yeah.
Am I going to go back to my old ways, drinking and fucking doing this and that and the other, be sloppy and all that sort of shit, right?
Yeah.
So that was like the biggest fucking tester for me. It's like, because when someone's there, knocking on your door every day, do this, can't do that.
Yeah.
Right? It's a little, it's easier.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's the easiest.
Yeah.
But it's definitely easier.
Yeah.
So the question I got for you is like, you know, for someone like yourself, you hold these people accountable. Well, you're the cornerstone to a lot of people out there, right?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you hold yourself, who holds you accountable? You know, how do you motivate yourself? Obviously you talk about your why every day, right?
Is that
your one thing? Is that the one thing that drives you every day to eat your meals, to not fucking
be
a fat dog, to not eat fast food? Like, how do you keep, you know, how do you do it? You're the fucking thing for so many people, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how do you do it?
But my routine and my everything, like routine and all my stuff that I do that is holding me accountable. The stuff that I do is not just for me to be accountable. Well, this was what changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, adopting these habits and the things I do every day has got me to where I am. As I said, it's made so many proud moments, memories with my mum and people I love. It's got me to where I am. It's got me a beautiful wife.
Yeah.
It's got me all happiness. I wake up happy every fucking day. I'm proud. I walk around confident. I fucking love myself. I love my life. I do not think negative.
Yeah.
And my whole life, I hated myself. My whole life, I put myself down. My whole life, I destroyed my fucking family. So my routine is not just something to hold my account. My routine needs to happen, and it always will happen because it brings me my happiness.
Yeah.
It gets me happy. It's not like I don't need to be held accountable. I've been doing this. I'm going to do this without a diet. It's not even an option.
Yeah.
It's a must do.
Yeah.
Because it equals my happiness. It equals me being proud. It equals me not going back. I know what it's like to try and kill myself. I know what it's like to sit in jail and fucking cry to myself. I know what it's like to curl up in a ball in my apartment and want to make up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not going back to being weak again. I'm not going back to destroying anyone again. I've wasted my whole life destroying people.
Yeah.
So it's not even, it's just, it's a must do for me.
Yeah.
It's not, I just do it. It's not even accountability, bro.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a part of my life now, bro. It's just gonna happen.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even think twice about it. It's a robot. Yeah. It's
like a self-change. Yeah.
It is my answer, my happiness. It is my routine, my structure, the things I do every day equals how I feel every day. And I love that. I understand. I love holding people accountable. It's what I do because I feel like I can help people change their life. Give them that little bit of push. Some people just need that bit of push. Some people don't have that.
Yeah.
And if I can give them that bit of push and get them to the point where they're fucking happy,
they
fucking happy. Political warning.
All right, bro. I got one here. All right. From struggling financially to now being financially free to a degree. Because you don't have to keep doing chill. You can fucking just.
No other houses, right?
That's what I mean. You can cancel your fucking Instagram, ever see you later.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Drop off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
To now being financially free to a degree. How have you mentally been able to manage that? Not let your ego take over.
Like, you know, buying nice things or
buying nice giving things, up on what you're doing. Well, I just mean, because, here, I'll put it to you like this. So, let's just say someone would come from no money.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden has a shit ton of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They then don't want to speak to that person and they think that they're better than everyone else. Then they, you know, they can afford certain things, act a certain way. You know what I mean? How have you not let your ego get in the way of that? Because you could easily, you know, go and buy whatever the fuck you want now. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But how have you been able to ground yourself with, you know, is it the people that you're around? Is it your family? Is it your partner? Because the thing for me, you know, tomorrow always used to say to me, don't let your ego get in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you win a certain job, if you're in a better...
Got a certain pay packet.
Certain pay packet, certain car. Yeah, you know what I mean? Don't ever let your ego get in the way. You know, you're no better than that person.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's very easy. It's easier said than done to say, oh, I don't let my ego get in the way. For me, how I haven't done that is, you know, Tamara is, she's sort of my cornerstone with that. But she'll slap me and be like, listen, come.
Yeah.
If you're not better than that guy,
yeah.
Regardless of whatever you've got,
yeah.
Whatever position you're in, houses, this, that, and the other, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, but as men, it's very easy for us to
want to have the bigger dick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'm better than you.
Yeah. I've never thought I was better than anyone else. This sort of stems back to when I was bullied.
Yeah.
I guess I believe we're all equals, and I fucking hate people that think they're better than other people. At the end of the day, we all have the same. We all go through the same struggles. We all go through the same life. We are all equals. I don't care what you've got going on in your life. We're equals. And I've never been one to flash my shit. you know, I've got a fucking Louis side bag and shit, but I've never thought about how much money I make. I'm still never disclose to anyone how much money I make.
Yeah.
I don't care. I've got wearing ASICs and wearing Nike shirts ever. I never
dress.
What matters to me is a big goal of mine was to support my family.
Yeah.
I pay for my family's rent. I pay for their food. They do not have a single bill waiting. And I pay for all their shit. I support my whole family. That's been a massive goal. I'm about to buy my dad a house.
Yeah.
For when my mum passes, he's got a house to go live in. He wants to live on Bribey Island.
Yeah.
He wants to go there retire. That's been a big dream of his. And he sacrificed a lot for our family to look after mum, and he lost a bit of money. He can't do anything. He hasn't got a super fund. He hasn't got anything. He's got nothing, but he always was there for me. Like, he was always there for mum, and now he's looking after mum full time. And he doesn't have to worry about bills. I pay all their bills. So I'm doing what I do. My dad can support my mum, shower my mum, look after my mum all day, be there for my mum all day, and not have to worry about a single bill. No financial stress.
Yeah.
I pay for all that shit. I'm always going to pay for my mum. The house is going to set him up. He's going to have a great life. I'll pay for his bills first in my life. That's my flex.
Yeah.
I don't need a fucking car. I've got a whole Commodore. I want a nice car, but I'll get one. I've got a house, I've got things I've gone, but I've never been one to show my money. My whole main goal was to make my family proud and set my family up.
Did you used to be like that back when you were selling around?
Fuck no, I bought, sold drugs, store bought drugs.
Yeah.
I never bought gold chains, I never bought anything like that. I'll just dump an ounce out. I sold drugs so I can shout everyone drugs so I can have more friends, so I can have more to use.
Yeah.
Now, the more drugs I sell, the more I can store. Yeah. The more drugs I sell, the more I can use. I've got $0 to show for my drug sale in the 60. I put that much up my nose and that much in a pipe. I shouldn't own houses, cunt. I should own suburbs, cunt. You know what I mean? I've done a lot of fucking drugs, but it's never been about money. So the whole thing, me making awesome money now, doing what I do, I support the ones I love. You know, and that's just, I'm sweet. I've got a nice apartment. I love where I live. I love my life.
That's it. You don't need a lot. And I feel like I was talking to Nick about this a while ago in regards to like success and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't actually need a lot. You know what I mean? You don't need fucking shit ton.
Yeah. Good to have money.
It's good to have money.
Yeah.
So I feel like it doesn't make you any better or anything like that, but I feel like it enables you to do what you're doing, you know, help other people and you know, you can fill other people's cup and all that sort of stuff. But you actually gotta need a lot.
Nah.
As long as you get up and do what the fuck you want.
Yeah.
And
if you're happy.
If you're happy.
You know if you're struggling like financially and shit like try and make more money.
Right,
I mean, but it's just I've always found a way to get ahead of it,
Right. Got a few more.
Yeah.
All right. This is more of a business related one.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right. What is the reality of like running a business? You know, because at the end of the day, you are also a business owner, even though you don't, that's not what you sell.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, you also are a business owner.
Yep.
Because everyone sees what they want. Right? They all see what they want to see on social media. Yep. They can say what the fuck they want about you, this, that, and the other, right?
Yep.
But deep down, you also pay tax. You also do what you do.
Fuck load of tax.
Right? Still do what you do.
Yeah.
So how have you managed to go from jail to a PT to now running the business that you are?
Yep.
Right? Because you're not a dummy. Even though you haven't read a book or done whatever the fuck it is. Right?
Yeah.
You're not a retard.
Yeah.
You're successful at what you do.
Yeah.
Right? You still need to pay taxes and run it.
Yeah.
Have you, you know, how's that journey been? Accountants.
You got to have a good team.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, you're still a business.
Yeah, right?
You still got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, I make the money. I've got a really good accountant. I've got people that sort my shit out. I don't think about that shit.
Yeah.
I know that in that sense, I'm dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, the tax bill comes, I'm like, holy fuck, I've got no money. So fuck, they're the place, fucking, whatever it is. But it's just, I have a good team.
Yeah.
You got to invest in a good accountant. That's what I've done. I've got a great accountant. She sorts all my shit out.
Yeah.
She minimizes the fuck out of my tax. Yeah. So it helps a lot to have a good team. I've got a good accountant, a good team. Someone that, I just have a good team, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And if you could tell teenage Darcy one piece of advice, what would it be?
This question is tough, can't. This I've been asked.
Teenage Darcy, right? If you're seeing him, you're now.
I have tons of questions in podcasts. People have asked this. Like, I've done podcasts on with like speak in front of kids and schools. Yeah. I've done heaps of school speaking and stuff like that, mentoring kids and shit. And I've been asked that question. It's such a hard question to ask. Because realistically, if I didn't go through what I went through and live the life I did, I wouldn't be able to help change lives. I wouldn't be where I am now.
Yeah.
And I'm the best. I mean, I don't believe I'd be this happy, this fucking be able to change people's lives if I didn't go through what I did. Because what I went through is how I can relate to people, how I can pull people up on their shit, how I can sort of be like, look, I've done this. And I believe I give people hope. I'm hope. Yeah. DRC was always about just giving people hope.
Yeah.
You know, I believe if I can do it, anyone can do it. I walk on the same earth, I breathe the same air. We're all equals, bro, as we said before, bro. And if I can do it, anyone can do it. And that's what I'm trying to project out there. Showing people where I come from. Like, I was both bike junkie my whole life, kind of tried necking up, jail, everything, bro. Fucking ruin my life. And I built myself up to nothing.
You put some police reports on. Like,
put all my charge chips up, bro.
It doesn't just preach it.
But it's just... So it's just...
not really hope, bro.
So...
It was a question that I was thinking because I got asked the other day.
Like,
if I was me now, sitting down with 15-year-old me, what would I say to him? You know what I mean? Knowing what I know now, what I say to him, you know what I mean? Just do what you're doing.
Yeah, if it's great,
it's a hard question because it is right. Like, whatever you've gone through makes you. What you want to
be. But then you don't really want to be like, but, oh, so he's done drugs his whole life and done this, so it's okay. You know, it's a really hard question.
Yeah.
It's like, because I'll be like, if a kid comes to me, I'm like, find something you love, exercise daily, I'll teach him routine shit, but I would be like, I want you to go start smoking drugs when you're 11. Okay, I'll really fuck your whole life. I'm like, because that's the path I went down. But that makes me who I am.
Yeah.
But there's a very small percentage of people that sort of get out of this.
Because, bro, you deal with a lot of kids, man. You got a lot of kids that look up to you and stuff as well. You've spoken to
them. I mean,
kids. Yeah. 100% they'd ask you that same sort of stuff. Like, obviously, you don't want them to go down the path.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would sit here and they'd be like, oh, yeah, but it's all right. You know, he's been in jail, he sold drugs, like, he's got a mad story to tell. But just because you haven't done that, just because, like, I don't know.
They see the mad story, but they don't see me crying like
them. That's what I mean. Like,
all the pain and shit I've been through.
Yeah.
You know, but to sort of mentor a kid and stuff, I do. I don't really be like, I'll just try and just push him in the right direction. Like, I'll start training, you know, get in the gym early, like, start having an outlet. Like, can't really be like, it's such a hard question, right? So I'll tell fucking little Darcy, keep doing what you're doing, to be honest, but I wouldn't tell some other kid that's fucking their life up now, keep doing what you're doing. Like, good job.
Yeah.
Keep stealing cars. Keep fucking
running. Yeah.
Like, it's hard to ask myself that now because I'm the best part of my life, bro.
Yeah.
I love my life. I love everything about it. So
it's fine.
That's the fuck. I've been asked that question like 5 times. I've had the same answer every time. I literally can't answer it.
Yeah.
It's like I wouldn't change a thing, but I wouldn't want to say that
you
to a young kid.
You just give me a pat on the back, bro, to say fucking.
If it was a young kid coming to ask me, I'd be like, I'll take out my wing, just start doing this, I'll show him, I'll mentor him, I'll be there for him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'll do. It's hard to say to my old self.
Yeah. All right. Now, I know how you're gonna answer this, but
get on.
Are you gonna do this forever? Is there an exit strategy?
No.
And when did you realize that you wanted to do this forever?
Once I started really connecting with people and helping people and getting the feedback, I get like messages from people saying, I've got a message that says, this chick was like, before I started with you, I was willing to walk away from my kids and kill myself with drugs on the street before she started with me. And now she's a great mum. She's killing it. She's sober. She's happy. And I get these messages every day. You've seen them.
How much does that motivate?
But it just makes me feel fucking good, bro. Like, I'm motivated as fuck. It's just getting shit like that knows that I'm actually making a real difference. And I know that no one's doing what I'm doing in the world. There is not one other coach. You find me one other person in the world that's doing what I do to help people. They say they might, but they do not put in the work at it. They do not check up on people. They do not do what I do. No one does what I do. And you don't see the feedback I get. So getting the feedback I get, and when I started to get these at the start, I was like, fucking read it. Well, this is
didn't
believe it, yeah. I was like, fucking hell, what I'm doing is mad. Like, I can really fucking help people. But now it's so common. Like, I'm getting these every day.
I don't get it to that extent, but even doing like what we're doing here, man. Like, I remember sitting down tomorrow one day. I didn't even know that the inbox, I knew that the inbox was there, but I never checked it.
Yeah, yeah.
I jumped in there one day. I was like, the fuck? There's all these messages from all these guys.
Yeah.
Just like, believe me. And I was listening to this. I really resonated. Like, I was just like,
but it's a good feeling. Yeah, but that's crazy. What I get. I thrive off it. And it's just, I wake up with it's my purpose. Yeah. It's my passion. You know, like nothing can outwork purpose or passion. If it's something you love to me, Like, I love what I do. I love helping people. I love being there for people when they're at their bottom. I love being able to talk to people and just flick that switch in their head and get them fucking going and motivated again. And I'm that guy, okay? I'm that guy that, fuck, I'm not changing lives, but I'm saving lives. I've stopped people from killing themselves.
Yeah.
There's no coach out there that can say that.
Yeah. Bro, you know? I can tell you now, like, it's, and I push it into, like, the guys that work for us and that. You know, they're all tradies. They're all fucking this, that, the other. Like, they do what they want. But if they ever come to me, like, I've had a few of my young guys, like, my apprentices, like, come to me and, like, ask me for advice and stuff. And, like, I've obviously just said to them, like, what I do and that. Like, and to be honest with you, like, I hate them. Like, everyone's like, oh, everyone fucking says it. But, you know, it's changed my life. And jumping off it has realised that it actually has.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, man, it's fucking, it's crazy.
Throw you a fat fucker.
Yes. Oh, dude. Yeah. Have a look at my four and a half. Yeah, but like, it's fucking crazy, like, what it's done for me.
But the body's a byproduct.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I remember, like, we were literally talking about it in the kitchens before, you know, I had a short-term goal that I wanted at the start.
Yeah.
And then you were like, yeah, you're going to get there, kind of like, yeah, easy, you know what I mean? Did you mean?
Yeah.
Got there, and then I said, all right, I'm going to challenge myself and jump off, and I jumped off, and like, now I've, like, realised that.
Realize the mental change.
Bro, it's made a massive difference. Like, even to the point now where, like, I just, you know, I'm trying to push other guys in that direction. Like, because at the same, like, it's different for you. You're getting, your people are coming to you.
Yeah.
Right? If they're coming to you, they're coming to you with change.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? My thing is, it's like, no one's coming to me for change. But, like, I can see who they need.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to push it onto them. But the same thing, all right? You would see people around you that, you feel like
I need that. Everyone.
Yeah. People it's like, chat. Like, I would love, like, you know, close people. I'm talking like my family, and the other. Like, I look at them and I'm like, you need, like, you know, I'd love to see you. Like, brother and that. Like, I'd love to see, like, I want that. You know, but I don't want to be that guy that's like at a barbecue being like,
oh, you should drop
we should fucking do this, that, and the other. So it's like, no, don't drink, don't smoke. Like, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
So that's something that I've had to, like, there's something that tomorrow I said to me, like, you know, not everyone wants that.
Yeah.
I mean, not everyone wants to be jacked. Not everyone wants, like, yes, deep down.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not up to me. And it almost will make me seem fun.
Yeah.
If I'm constantly just, like,
trying to preach.
Push your drink down.
But I get that even some people, I get my people's partners, I get sisters, wives, reach out to me on the drugs, it's destroying their lives. Can you help? Like, what can you do? Can you please speak to him?
Yeah.
And he can't say a sentence and make someone change. Yeah. I believe someone needs to hit that rock bottom point where they might not even fucking change. Where they hit that rock bottom, the Saturdays, I believe, repeating stuff. People need to hit their rock bottom to change.
Yeah.
But you can't, as you said, kind of like, you need to lose a bit of weight. I think you should do this. Oh, yeah, okay, sweet, and change.
Yeah.
It's, you can't break paths unless someone really wants it for themselves.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing is that we were talking about just before as well. It's like, how do you stomach not being
it? Well, that's one thing that eats me up about doing what I'm doing, because I'm so passionate about it. I know I can change someone's life. Like, it's just deep down, because my track record with people fucking come at me and just help people out of very, very bad spots, and they get to their best, they're just fucking
throbbing. But you write that down every day.
I write it down. I say it's not my fault if someone gives up on themselves. Okay? Because I can reach out as much as I can. I can hold it accountable. I can message them. I can jump on a call for them. Hey, bro, you want to jump on a call to, you know, have a chat if you want to feel better? I'll do that, bro. People I don't even coach, you know? Yeah. And then, or even people I do coach, and then they don't reply to me and stuff like that. I can't control someone completely shutting off. And I've got to accept that. But it just eats me up more, because if I just know if this fucker just, like, commits to it and gets up and does it, I can fucking change their life. And it's like, and then when I sort of get that message, we're like, hey, man, we're just going to have a break for a bit. It's usually after someone has a slip up or something like that, and they just can't catch their feet again. When they say that, I feel like I failed it in some way. What have I done? Like, and I know I'm giving everything I can, more than anyone in this world, more than most of the people they even know in their family, they're giving it. And, like, I've just got to accept that if someone gives up on themselves, that's not my fault, because I can take it on myself.
Yeah.
And it is a trait that I was just, it's not a bad trait to have, because I care.
Yeah.
But that just shows I care.
Yeah.
Like, if it was another number, I'd be like, yep, sweet, only 2 weeks, I'll see you later, okay? That's not me, you know what I mean? Like, I coach, if they're struggling, I'd be like, yep, sweet, well, I'll coach you for free for the next 3 weeks until you get on your feet. and then we'll get back on track.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling
But no, it's not about that.
Because we were talking about it in there, and like obviously different. But I was like even mentioning about like people resigning from my company.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, you know what I mean? I always used to like beat myself up and be like, is it me? Is it the environment? Is it the money? Is it the fucking, you know what I mean? And you, I would always like, Tamara even said to me, you know, don't take it personal. Like,
yeah.
And
because you think the worst thing in your head.
100%, man. And I always used to say to her, like, but how can I not? You know, how can I not take
like, personal? What am I not doing?
Yeah, exactly.
But you take a step back and look what you are doing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I ain't giving it all. I'm giving all. You don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
You know? And it's hard. It is hard to accept, especially when you get people fired, people have cancelled my coaching, shit like this. But it's just, we got no control over our
people. Like me. Yeah.
Still trying to message you and ask me for advice.
God, just have a look. Yeah, he fucking does too. All right, so I've got a few quick ones, all right?
Yeah,
just a couple of quick questions. These are just fucking, these are ones that I want to know, all right? Yeah. I know this first one because this can't fucking, squat or bench?
Squat or bench.
Yeah, look at the
front. Squats for life, boy. Yeah.
What I want to know is, cunt, did you get the quads in jail or you always?
No, globally. I've had thicker legs.
This guy looks like a, you guys need to look him on his Instagram. He looks like a caricature or whatever the fuck.
It's like a tree trunk. Stupid.
Right, he's like, this guy needs to fucking skip legs.
Yeah.
Everyone says, oh, do your legs, don't skip legs. This cunt needs to skip leg day.
I don't even get chafed because cunts is
perfectly together. Skip leg day. You don't need
it. Squats all day. Bench is so for shit.
He's all bottom.
Squats all day, boy.
Yeah. All right. One cheap meal, what would it be?
Oh, sushi room, Brisbane.
Yeah.
Sushi room, Brisbane. Wagyu sushi rolls, trust me, sushi room Brisbane. Near Carl Hotel, sushi room Brisbane, go there.
Best piece of advice someone has ever given you?
See, that's one thing with my whole journey and shit. I never had mentors, I never had.
That's what I mean, and that's what I'm like, this is what I'm trying to get.
I've never had mentors or people who showed me the way. I just done it all myself. Yeah. I know it's I did it all myself. I'm not saying it like that. I literally taught myself everything.
Yeah.
I never really taken advice from anyone.
Because
Once I started creating the life I had and started to become happy, I'm like, this is the life. This is what matters. Yeah. And like, once I became happy and I felt real happiness, I never felt happiness my whole life. Yeah. So when I started to feel real happiness, I knew I'm doing the right things. What do I need advice on?
Yeah.
You know, I was doing the right things. Okay, when I went into business and went into PT and shit, I knew I had to work all those hours to fucking make myself. I knew I didn't have any advice from,
so there was no friend or like just a passing comment, like some dude just like leave home, like if you want, like, no.
I knew I had to make something myself. I just had my family in my back, right? I had to make something myself. So, a bit of advice someone gave me, fuck, it's hard. Like, maybe my coach to teach me that carbs aren't bad when I first started training. I'm like, that's, I don't know. Right? So, I've got a coach that does my meals, so I do fucking 400 or 500 people's meal plans, at least I get the coach to do mine. So I guess the best bit of advice that sort of my coach that got me to like my physique now, because obviously I get advice from my food and stuff, I've learned stuff off them. The probably best advice is carbs are not bad.
Yeah.
But my whole life advice side of things, like, I got myself here, bro. Yeah. Like, I didn't watch Tony Robbins or fucking David Goggins. Like, I don't need to run 100 kilometers current. You know what I mean? Like, I'll carry my own fucking boats. I'll carry my own boats. I'll be carrying my own boats. Like, I didn't need someone to sort of be like, give up, do shit. Like, I did it myself. I'm like, if I've got my back, I've always, even though we've only got ourselves.
Yeah.
They just have the accountability. And it's like, you got you. Yeah. No one else, like, you got your family, you got everyone to love you. But hey, you're the one that's got to make these choices.
Yeah.
You're the one that's got to get up and make shit happen.
Yeah.
It comes down to you to make these choices. So I've always just been like, it's on me. My change is on me. My past mistakes, all my pain that I've caused, everything, I own that, all that's on me. All the pain that I've caused my family, the letdowns, the heartbreak, the fucking everything, my jail, my crime, all my fucking criminal charges was my own fault, and you've got to own your shit. So I own my own choices, and now I'm like, I own that, I've got to get the best. I'm not going to rely on anyone. I've got to put my guard. I get up at 2:30 every morning. I've got to do that. No one's getting me up. I've got to do this. I've got to stay in routine. I've got to make my family proud. I've got to support my family. I've got shit I've got to do. So I've got me. Yeah. And everyone out there, you got yourself. No one can make your choices yourself.
That's it, I made my own choices.
And I made my own negative choices, and now I make my own positive choices. And I know what choices are right and wrong. We all know what's right and wrong. Because it all comes down to a choice. We think about what we do, and we make a choice, we make a decision. We know what's right and wrong. Okay, even with positive choice, okay? You don't have to convince yourself, I need to drink a bottle of water. I deserve to drink a bottle of water. I deserve to go to gym. I deserve to eat a clean meal. I deserve a good night's sleep. These things we know that are good for us. It's common sense. Okay? But I deserve a drink. I'll just have one more. I'll go out this weekend. I deserve it. We deserve, and we convince ourselves we deserve the toxic choices. And that's what we've got to stop thinking. I know the choices that I make are all positive. So at the end of the day, I've got to think.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. All right. What's next for DRC Fit? Just the same stuff.
I just like helping people, man. Yeah, I'm very happy what I'm doing. I want to speak. My biggest goal is to speak in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
I want to speak in front of like a fucking stadium.
Yeah.
I've got a big mental health gala speech coming up in November in Perth, which is about 1,000 people or something like that, which is great. I can't wait. And then it's just about just keep doing my thing, get seen by people, and just get involved. I want to get my story out to the world. I want to get my message out to the world. My views on, I think, a sober life's a better life to a lot of people, and get my message out there, my story out there, and I believe I'm hope for a lot of people, because a lot of people, like I said, with Tony Robbins, David Robbins, I haven't done Navy SEALs, come out, can't relate to this fucking company, you know what I mean? Like, they can't relate to that, but all my struggles are very common.
Yeah.
A lot of people have gone through what I've been through, and in some parts of my story, people can relate to that, and I believe I've got a wider audience and a wider range of people I can help with my story.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's many people out there with a story like mine that are speaking in front of big crowds that have got to where I come from. Obviously, I got out of jail with nothing. I had nothing when I got out of jail, but I made something myself. And obviously, I want to get the more message out there when I become, obviously, I'm going to buy heaps more properties and become very, very successful in that aspect. Yeah. And then sort of get out there my story of like, look, I made nothing to a, not flash money, but like, look what I've...
Probably you made something yourself.
So use that aspect, not like, oh, I made this much money this year, I'm not going to do that, but like, I'll fucking support my family. Like, my big goal for DRC for me is to go speak in front of like thousands and thousands of people on a big stage.
Yeah.
That's one of my big goals.
Yeah.
And it will happen.
Yeah.
It will happen.
No, but I think, like, for us anyway, like, the community that we've got is just, like, the amount of guys that need it.
Yeah.
And... Bro, I'm telling you, if you're listening and you're thinking, you're like, oh, it's not for me, fuck this shit, like you don't want to do it for any sort of fucking reason. I'm telling you, man, just fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like, just...
You got to ask yourself the same question. Do you wake up happy
every day? Yeah. You know what I mean? And then we're like, oh, I'm happy on a Friday, I'm happy on a Saturday. Like, what the fuck? Bro, I'm telling you, like, I even said it to Tamar, like, it's... You just do it, like, just do it for like a week.
Yeah.
Or like, what did you say to me?
I just like, do it for one day.
You know,
I told one day.
Do one day. And I'm telling you, I fucking hand on heart, it'll change.
Do I say to everyone when they start with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. When everyone starts with me, I'll just say, look, I want one simple favor.
Yeah.
I'll say, when you start with me, all I want you to do is commit to every little thing I say for one day.
Yeah.
And you tell me how you feel.
Yeah.
Every single person that I've ever coached, thousands and thousands of people, reach out to me the day after being like, I had the best day of my life yesterday.
Yeah.
I feel fucking amazing. Because you started to work on yourself. You started to achieve small goals.
Because
you've got to achieve the small goals. If you fall short on such a small goal, like setting an alarm, going to a gym, things like this, little goals like this, how the fuck do you expect to hit your big goal?
Yeah.
If you fall short on your small goals, how the fuck do you expect to hit the big goal? Which everyone's a big goal, you just be happy.
Yeah.
Full stop. That's everyone's goal.
Is to do this or do that or support this and support that. Like, you know, I've listened to Atomic Habits and all these other like e-books and that.
Yep.
That you listen to. Like, some of the shit that they talk about is so fucking true. Like, your habits aren't just your habit. It's not just a habit.
Yeah.
It actually creates your fucking
habits.
Who you are. Like, you know what I mean? Getting up, eating healthy, doing that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a chore. Like, as you were sort of just saying.
That's what I was saying with my
you.
Routine.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's you, like, it's you. Like, it's actually who you are.
I just know this equals my happiness.
Yeah, and that is so fucking true. But, like, hey, I can just, I can preach all day on this thing and fucking and tell you all what's involved and what you need to do. But until you do it, like, you won't understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking, it literally has changed my mindset. Yeah,
like, but even if you change your life, it's a domino effect. Look at your missus. Your missus started coaching with me.
Yeah.
She's down 10 kilos. She was doubting herself on day one.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I don't know. I've tried other things before. I don't know if I can stick to this. Yeah. One day, she's like, bang, I got this.
And it's not, as I said to you, it's not the meals.
Like, you did that.
It's not doing this certain routine.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the small things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the mindset change.
Yeah, it's the mindset
change. Like, once that fucking has changed, everything else is easy.
Yeah.
Getting up, fucking drinking your water to do that, the other, it's fucking piece of piss. Yeah. It's easy as, you know what I mean? It's got nothing to do with meals.
No. You know what I mean? Because you start to feel happiness.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
You realize if I do these things,
yeah,
I can be happy.
And I remember saying that to you, like, that was the biggest thing that I felt was different. Because everyone talks about keto, carnivore, fucking, you know, functional this, do that, you know what I mean? Do this and do that, you gotta do this, and blah, 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 blah. Right? But for me, I fucking tried it all. Done that, jumped off it, didn't have any 8 week challenge, jumped off that, fucking did this, did that,
yeah,
tried it all.
Yeah,
now nothing fucking stuck because my mindset was just,
fine. But that's why with myself, I don't promote 12-week challenges or I'll do my 8-week challenge block and try to sell a product.
Yeah.
I'm here to change your life, bro.
Yeah.
Like, my goal is for you to have these habits and live a happy life, make you feel good, find love, all that sort of shit. That's my goal. I care about a 12-week challenge. I get people to reach out like, hey, bro, what's your 8-week? Have you got an 8-week block or have you got a 12-week block? I'm like, no. I've got us working together every day and changing life, or I'm not really a guy. If you're here for a quick fix, I'm like, sweet, but I'm even changing. And once I get have a chat with these people, they're all on, but I've never self-put us into an 8-week challenge shit. It's fucking dumb.
Well, I think that is it for this episode.
Fucking shame.
It's, fuck, bro, we could literally talk for hours on end, but we should do like a fucking stream. But anyway, I want to thank you guys for listening. Now, look, if you're driving, you're sitting down, you're listening to this, and you don't know, you're sort of, you know, you've just been listening to it fucking yap the whole time, I would really, really, really strongly recommend you reach out to Darcy, and just jump on board, man. Or reach out to me if you want and ask me what I think about it, and I'll fucking tell you the honest truth. Like, as I said, I've tried everything in the past, and massive changes.
They got to be as well, Everyone struggles. Everyone has their struggles, but nobody is stuck struggling.
Yeah.
Your habits, your choices are making you stuck struggling. Everyone changes. That's it.
So Darcy definitely doesn't need to change a little bit easier. Fucking absolutely fuck
yeah. I'll be like a crazy ex looking for child support. Come at you.
But anyway, hey, you got to jump on board and see what that's all about. But
if not, you don't even jump, what if you want to reach out and fucking have a chat?
Message
me. Yeah. Or jumping on board. If you want to reach out and you're struggling, you just want to have a chat, message me.
That's it. People actually get back together.
Fuck on. Fuck
on. Nah, bro, I want to fucking appreciate you jumping on, man. You could,
Well, it was mad. We'll do it again another time,
man. Good luck. You're fucking.
Nah, it'll be sweet too. It'll be sweet.
It's going to be sick. Good, but, alright, too easy. Alright, guys, we'll see you on the next one.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode as this will be one that you don't want to miss.